Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Park Circuit, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9. Respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Private Officer Beat. I'm glad that you have joined us on this Monday, the 3rd of February, 2014. I'm your host, Rick McCann, and we're just excited about being on the air with you live here from the middle of the country, the gateway capital of America, a beautiful city. And, you know, I had the best cheeseburger this afternoon. It had a lot of bubbly cheddar cheese on top. It was homemade, delicious. I just had a great time today. We've been extremely busy as always, and we have a busy day tomorrow scheduled. But that's the way it goes. We'll be on the road for the next few weeks, actually. We've got a number of training events. The two-day strategic training partnership is something you may want to look into, and also the training summit. Those are free. The training summits are happening 30 cities and 20 states. Those are open to security officers and public safety officers across the country, and they're free of charge. If you need more information, please go to our website or send us an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Well, I don't know about you, but it really has the last month or so just really put me into one of those wintry moods. Every other day we're getting snow and ice and rain, albeit not feet of snow, but we are getting inches of snow, at least in the Carolinas where I live and in other places around the country. And now today, you know, we do monitor the news and weather 24 hours a day in our central dispatch center. We got a report about a three-zinger storm. Three different storms going to be hitting the country this week, different parts. And, in fact, it's been snowing in New York and parts of New England today. And right where the Super Bowl was yesterday, speaking of the Super Bowl, right where the Super Bowl was yesterday, they actually have quite a bit of snow. And in the Central Park area, they had about 7 or 8 inches of snow today. And it seems like sometime within the next 24 hours, parts of the country will again see the snow and ice. And then there'll be another one midweek. They're saying probably Wednesday, Thursday, and another one Saturday or Sunday. Hey, I love the winter. I grew up in New England, but gosh, this is just, you know, a lot of areas just aren't prepared for it. I'm sure that, you know, if you keep up with the news, you know about the situation in Georgia back a few days ago during the ice and snow event there in Alabama, where parts of Atlanta Metro was paralyzed, literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people were trapped along their interstates, unable to move, gridlock everywhere. So that, you know, it just, you couldn't get off the interstate. Same thing in Alabama, in the Birmingham region, traffic just, you know, frozen, literally in place, and people were trapped in their vehicles and had to walk hours and hours to get to safety, get to their home. Many grocery stores and hospitals and schools and private businesses opened up their facilities and let people sleep on the warm floors and provided meals the best that they could and shelter and comfort. But my gosh, if we get any more of this weather in some of these areas, especially in the south southeast areas, I don't know how they'll be able to cope with it, honestly, because it's just it's not something that they're prepared for. And you know, once they put down the brine, that salt water mix that they do, they usually coat the interstates and the bridges a good 12 hours before they're expecting snow or ice. Once they do that, most southern states just are not prepared to do much more. They may have 10 or 12 garbage trucks or dump trucks where they put plows on it, but they're just not prepared. They don't have the armies of personnel and vehicles like they do in places that get snow on a regular basis. So that was, one of the mitigating factors why so many people were trapped in this last event in the Atlanta and Birmingham area. And, you know, if we get this weather bringing, you know, to our area again, it's going to be the same thing. It really is. And sometimes, as in this last situation, it could go on for days. I mean, until the sun comes out, until the temperatures rise and melt the stuff, it's there. And people can't move their vehicles, and you know, the city is paralyzed. I've lived through a number of blizzards, true blizzards, where you have 20 or 30 inches of blowing snow and frigid temperatures, and certainly this was not the case this past week in the south, but it sure did seem like it was. All right, well, we do have a lot to talk about tonight, and I do want to move on. We're going to talk a little bit later on about the process, the legislative process, how laws become laws. And it's not something that we're going to be able to talk in great depth, but we will be able to explain some of the process and, moreover, what we do and why certain times we say it's better if you let us handle it rather than you. And we'll go into that. I do also want to thank our sponsor tonight, the Varney Insurance Agency. Check them out online at www.onguardinsurance.com. If you're a private security agency, a PI firm, or you have a security alarm business, they definitely can help with your insurance needs. Give them a call today at area code 813-245-2675. Again, that number is area code 813-245-2675, and tell Jay Rick sent you, and I'm sure he'll do you a good deal. Well, you better not mention my name, actually. No. Just tell him Rick sent you, and I'm sure that he will help to lower your cost, and also they have a very low down payment option for you if you're a startup or you need to change over your insurance carrier. You definitely want to give them a call. Once again, that phone number is area code 813-245-2675. Well, as I said a moment ago, we do have a lot to talk about, and we'll be talking a little bit later about some of the great events coming up, the Strategic Training Partnership, the Security Training Summits, the different opportunities for you as a student or an instructor to get involved with everything happening training-wise, and we're going to tell you a little bit more how to do that. Two weeks ago, we did a little special. If you missed that, you'll want to go back to that radio show, and I think you'll see a lot of opportunities for you, whether you're an instructor or a student. And definitely we want you to contact us and get involved if you are interested in becoming a strategic training partner. We're also going to talk here in a moment about some of the other events that we have coming up during this 10-year anniversary. That's right, we have been I mean, officially we are 10 years old. We actually started even earlier than that, but officially we are 10 years old. Let me see. I think that would make me in, what, fifth grade? Fourth grade? Remember when? Wow, that was a long time ago. Let me also tell you that if you'd like to email us while we're on the radio, you can at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. You can also send us any type of news or training events happening in your area. You can send us promotions that maybe you've recently been promoted. Tell us more about what's happening in your neck of the woods. You can also follow us on the web at Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, LinkedIn, and a number of others simply just by going to our main website at privateofficer.com. Privateofficer.com, right there on the page, the front, the home, right there, the landing page. You can check all of our social media right there from that page. Now, we are, again, redesigning, recreating, reconstructing our whole website, and we hope to be able to have that finished in the next 30 days. And, of course, our Armor College website, it has been online, designed, constructed, and recently taken down for maintenance, and we'll be putting that back up in a few days as we've added more courses and information to that. But we have, we really do have so much happening that, you know, if you're not on top of it, if you don't listen to our radio shows on a regular basis, if you don't read our news, if you don't stay current on the forums, then it really is easy to miss what is happening at Private Officer. I get people tell us all the time, you know, I'm working when you have the radio show. Well, you can listen to all of our shows on demand. It doesn't matter if it's 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. You just go to our website and click on the radio show link, and you can access all of our radio show. Well, I'm working, and I don't have a lot of time, and I don't usually read the newsletters. I don't really read the news blog. Well, all of that is cataloged and ready for you at any time that you are available. So there really is no excuse, no reason why you can't stay current with what's going on. You know, we all get busy, but, you know, when you have a couple of moments, sit down with your cup of coffee and peruse the news that happened over the last couple of days. Listen to the radio show. It's on demand. It's available to you. In fact, it's on iTunes and a number of other digital formats. It's available. There really is no excuse. If you want any information on how to, you know, access any of our material that's available to you free, all that you have to do is contact our help desk 24 hours a day. Help desk at 24 hours a day. And Gary just piped in from South Carolina, and he said he loves the radio shows, misses it when we're not on air, when we're traveling like we are today and over the next few weeks. But he said that he really looks forward to the radio shows, and he reads the newsletter religiously. Thank you, Gary, and thank you all those others who do the same. Speaking of the newsletter, well, we're going to talk about that in a moment because there's there is quite a bit of info that I want to share with you about the newsletter. And coming up on our first break here, I don't want to get in the middle of that and all of a sudden have to break away. But we're going to tell you about the latest information about the newsletter and some other things that's been decided over the last few hours today, as a matter of fact, in our meeting. And we're going to also tell you about how you can get involved in the celebration of our 10-year anniversary. You can participate in the Private Officer Anniversary. We want you to participate. And we'll come back here after the break and tell you how.
You're listening to WPOI Radio, brought to you by Private Officer International. Don't go away, because we're coming right back with more news, information, and training.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
All right, we want to welcome you back to the Private Officer Beat on this Monday the 3rd of 2014. Glad that you are with us, whether it be live or, I don't want to say dead. Gosh, we don't want you to be dead. We don't want you to be dead. You couldn't listen to us then. But we are so excited when folks listen live and call in and email us and tell us how much they enjoyed the program. And we have even more folks who listen on demand from all over the country, all over the world, actually, not just the country, but all over the world. And that really excites us. You know, there are times when people contact us, like I've stated before, from places that I've never heard of. Truthfully, I don't know where they are. But I'm just glad that they are listening, whether on demand or live. So, all right, well, as I was saying before going to the break, there was a little discussion on our newsletters, and some concerns has arisen, frankly, almost for the last month and a half or so, since we had to do the mandatory verification of everybody's emails to comply with the anti-spam law. And during that process, we did lose a number, quite a few, followers, folks who either didn't know how to follow, I don't want to say commands, I guess instructions, didn't know how to follow instructions or didn't want to verify, or some actually thought that it was a spam or a fraud, or, you know, that it wasn't real. And we try to put our phone numbers and contact information in all of our messages so that folks knew that it was from our office. But nonetheless, we did lose a number of followers. And then for whatever reason, those who did re-verify and re-register emails, you know, we've had the least amount of opens ever. And we've been doing the newsletter, you know, for a while now. And, of course, our emails, we've been sending those out for about 8 years now. And so we are able to track who opens the emails, who reads them, who just throws them away. And so during our discussions in recent weeks, we really have been at a loss as to not only the reduction in readership, but the reduction of folks who re-registered, and they're in our database, in our system, but they're just not reading the emails. They're not reading the majority, or they're not reading some, or they're not reading, you know, enough to make us, to warrant us to continue all the hard work. It takes us about, on an average day, 6 to 8 hours to read all of the emails, all of the news articles, all the press releases, all of the public information alerts, track all the information, follow all of our social media sites where we sometimes get leads and messages. And it's a very labor-intense, time-consuming, which we don't mind. We love it. And, you know, there's a lot of value in the news that sometimes people just don't see. They don't get it. But anyways, we really have been at a loss as to what to do, and so we decided to just kind of discontinue it for a short amount of time while we figured it out. And the minute that we made that announcement, of course, everyone came out of the woodwork, even people who were not in our database, by the way, who were not getting emails to begin with, contacted us by email saying, oh, my gosh, we just love your newsletters. We just love your alerts. We just love everything that you do, and we don't want you to cancel. Well, we weren't going to cancel. We were just going to, you know, suspend that aspect of our news department until we figured out what we were going to do. But like I said, we did get a lot of contacts. You know, you can't please everybody. Some of the contacts said, well, I really love your newsletters, but I don't have any use for your breaking news. Okay, well, the breaking news is some of the most important information that we put out. Usually it's regarding a serious incident, a death notice, or something, you know, vital, a court ruling, or something that would have you know, quite an effect on your employment session. Others said, we don't really like the newsletter so much as we do the breaking news. We just want the breaking news alerts. And other folks said, well, we like them, but we don't like them as frequent. Could you send them out once a week, once a month, every couple times a week? And, of course, other folks had their other opinions, and it just kind of opened up a can of worms. The long and short of this story is that our newsletter will continue on, and we never intended on completely suspending the newsletter service, but we are trying to figure out the best way to provide the best product and also to justify the time, the efforts in doing what it takes to mine all the information, to gather all the information, and then put it in newsletter or breaking news alert form. The other thing a lot of people don't realize, and this is very frustrating from a business standpoint, having owned several businesses most of my life, and currently still do own a number of businesses, this is one of the most frustrating businesses that I've ever had, because many people do not grasp the fact that this is a business. In fact, recently on our forums, for those of you who, you know, go there now and then and check it out, we had a comment on the forums from someone who said that he had heard through the grapevine that other people were saying that we were all about money, we were all about our business, that it was more about us than it was about the member of the association. Well, here's a flash. Here's a news flash, a news break for you, an alert. We are a business. We're in it as a business. It takes money to run any business. A church is a business, although their services is for the good of their congregation. They need money to operate, to pay their bills, their rent, their utilities, their staff, their payroll, their insurance. And we're the same way. We're a business, but we're in it for the well-being of our association members, our students, and those that we serve in the security, loss prevention, public safety, and law enforcement profession. Anyone who has any other opinion or any other belief as to how we should operate doesn't understand reality of a business, has never been in a business, because You can't open a pizza shop in your neighborhood and give away pizzas and think you're going to be in business 10 years from now, because you're not going to be. You have to charge for those pizzas. Very few businesses, even the mega businesses, Walmart, McDonald's, they don't give away their products. They may sell them cheaper than other folks because they operate on the philosophy of selling in quantity. They'll be able to make a little bit off from each item that they sell, but they're not going to give it away. And certainly we sell our memberships, our training, at about 60% less than any organization, similar or not, whether it be a totally different type of association. Our memberships are dirt cheap. Our training is dirt cheap, although some of that's about to change as we go to a full-fledged college. Some tuitions are definitely going to be college tuitions, and folks will just have to get over it and get used to it. But we have, for 10 years, given most of our stuff away. We operate a 24-hour help desk. We're there 24 hours a day to help people. We answer your emails and your phone calls within hours. Anyone who thinks different needs to contact us, and I'll tell you the lowdown. I'll give you the facts. Don't listen to people. Don't read things in our forums and social media and take that for gospel, because I can tell you it's not. As we said a couple of weeks ago, being in business for 10 years, I don't know of very many businesses that hasn't received at least one complaint, at least one black mark, at least something against them. I am proud to say that in 10 years of operating this organization, Private Officer International has a clean slate, has had a clean slate, will continue to have a clean slate, because we not only provide the services that we say we're going to, but we do it with a true heart, commitment, understanding, and a level of service that you're not going to find in other businesses of similar, you know, to what we do. And we're not only an association, but we're a national and an international association, a national and international provider of training and services and products. And anyone who's ever had any doubt as to whether or not we're a business, I hope that's clarified for you. We are a business. We have to have funds to pay our bills, to pay our staff, to operate. But certainly we do it at a considerable less amount than our competitors or other similar operations. All right, well, getting back to the newsletter, we've decided to go ahead and issue it on a less frequent basis, just a couple of times a week. We will continue with breaking news. If you're not the type of person who wants to read, you know, urgent news or something that we deem to be urgent news, then we understand if you just delete it. But we are going to continue. We've expanded our newsletter, in fact, to include loss prevention and a few other areas that we had not been publicizing. And we're also going to be adding some other new media products and radio shows, and we're excited. And we will be telling you more about that coming up. Okay, in the breaking news, as a matter of fact, we do have to tell you that this past week we did have a security officer that was killed, John Vita, 59, of North Liberty, Indiana. John Vita, 59, North Liberty, Indiana. He was a armored car guard, I believe it was for Brinks, and apparently he had a heart attack while on duty behind the wheel of the armored truck. It rolled across the road into traffic. He hit a couple of cars. And while this was going on, it seems that his partner was locked in the back and evidently held on and went for the ride because he could not get out. Evidently, the back door is secured, and the armored car guard in the back is not able to get out on his own. That's a big, huge safety concern in my book, and something that should be definitely looked into. But unfortunately, John Vita passed away, they say, in the vehicle. He was on duty behind the wheel when he had a massive heart attack. And so our thoughts and prayers are with him. That was number six. Six security officers killed during the month of January. But we are in the last, 6 or 7 months, we are on a kind of a downtrend at this point, thankfully. We still have a lot of armed confrontations. We still have a lot of shootings. We still have a lot of security officers being injured, but the deaths have slowly subsided for the time being. We also had another armored car guard incident where the security officer shot and killed an attempted robbery suspect. And we've had a number of security officer-involved shootings, but so far, so good. We mentioned a short time ago about the training partnerships. We really want you to go back and listen to that radio show a couple of weeks ago we did about the strategic training partnerships. If you own a security company, a security school, or a private college, or you know someone who does, it would behoove you and them to take a look at the great opportunities being offered because, you know, for no investment, no money, no commitment on your part, you're able to get involved with our training at POI and Armor College to grow your student population, to offer more curriculum in areas that you normally would not be able to offer because we have 120-plus courses, 70 programs involving EMS and fire service, public safety, private security, law enforcement, medical, and legal professions, and it's really a great opportunity because you share in the revenues. And we have had a lot of interest. We have made a few commitments with folks, and I think it's something that's worthwhile for you to take a look at. Definitely, it would grow your business and help you financially. And the other thing is the two-day security training summits. We're looking for some sponsors to help us to bring these free events to your area. Sponsorship just includes, donation to make sure that we're able to cover our expenses to get there. And we need to help facilitate a location for the training and the marketing. If you'd like more information on any of that, we just ask that you contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Quick email from Tim. He says, remind people not to to go on to social media. Oh, okay. Not to advertise on social media. In other words, if you're selling Tupperware, don't put that on our Facebook page. And we've told people that before. If you're selling knives or horns or whatever it is, don't advertise. Don't put it. Most of our followers and members, they don't want to read that. We have a policy against it. We will allow you to advertise in other areas. Just contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We also ask that you do not use our social media in an effort to contact us. That is not the best or most direct way. We ask that you contact us 24 hours a day at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. Yes, we will read your postings. Yes, we will read your message or your direct mail or whatever. We will, but it may not be immediate. We don't monitor that as closely as we do our own email at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. So that really is your best way.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please, let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
right. Well, thank you very much for listening to us here on the Private Officer Beat. We are back on the air with you, and we've had a number of emails over the last few minutes, and that's a great way to contact us. You can write us right now direct at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also call in if you have any questions or you want to talk about anything. Area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number, area code 347-426-3807. I would like to also mention, if you have over the last 7 or 8 years taken any of our certifications or other courses or programs, we are offering an exchange of certificates to our new Armor College diploma. So if you would like to stay current and have the current school name on your diploma, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and for $25 administrative fee, what they'll do is they'll switch out your certificate with a new Armor College diploma. They'll email it to you. It's very official looking. It has our embossed logo and college name and so forth. And again, it's just $25 for administrative and mailing costs. And it's just to keep you current so that your documents reflect the new name, the new official name of our training division, Armor College. Again, just send that email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And they will certainly help you with it. We have so much happening, and we've got a great team helping us behind the scenes. If you're interested in becoming part of our committees or part of our advisory board, we're going to be having next week, we're going to be having a conference call. If you would like to be part of our memorial wall and memorial vehicle committee where we're raising funds, or you just want to sponsor a memorial service or a training event, definitely contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You know, it's unfortunate. We do hear from time to time people who say, I just haven't really gotten involved because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to get involved. I didn't know who to contact. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. But if you are really sincere about getting involved, you just have to contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and someone is always monitoring, and someone will either, you know, reply to you immediately or forward it to the appropriate person and then will reply to you within a short amount of time. There's so much to do and so many ways to be involved. We're always looking for folks to open up new chapters. We're always looking for folks to get involved out in the field with recruiting. And, you know, there's just I get people asking, well, how come this area is thriving? How come this chapter is doing so well? How come these people seem to be always in your radio show or news? And I tell everyone the same answer, and that's because they make it happen. We can't come to your area without having a good person there to facilitate, without having a good, you know, team in place, at least a few folks who want to make things happen. We're not going to be able to run up and down the countryside and back and forth across the country every day. So we have to give you the tools, give you the training, give you the information, and put you on the lead and be there to support you. If you're interested in being part of anything, joining the committees, being on any of our programs, being on the advisory board, opening a chapter, starting a training school in your area, we're also going to be out franchising soon, and we're going to be offering no franchise fee startup. So there's no excuse. If you truly want to get involved in the changing of your profession, if you really want to get involved in the legislative process of changing the laws in your state, if you really want to get involved in, you know, enhancing your business or starting a business, we have the tools, the know-how, the information, the training to help you. You have to be willing to take that first step. Contact us at the help desk at privateofficer.com. For just a few moments tonight, I do want to go into our training aspect of this radio program and kind of talk a little bit about how the legislative process really works. Now, people do contact us when they hear us talk on the radio about all the exciting things happening in different states and how we've aided in the change of laws pertaining to the security industry and how we have crafted and drafted various legislative house bills. But a lot of folks, they have good intentions, they just don't have the insight, they just don't have the knowledge, and they haven't really taken the time to research it. All you really have to do is check Wikipedia or other online sources very quickly. It will tell you the process of how new laws are passed, how bills are written, the steps and procedures and so forth. But a lot of times folks call or they write us and they just want the preliminary how-to template because they want to go out and do it, whether it be for glory, headlines, or whatever, or maybe they just have good intentions. And unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. When you change laws, when you begin that legislative process, it's a very long and lengthy and sometimes painful process because things don't happen as quickly as you want them to. And because you do a lot of work and you present your case and it doesn't get any place. So let me spend a couple of minutes with you here and tell you first about what we do and how the law works and how we put them together. Sometimes it, you know, does come together, and sometimes it does work, and other times it does not. Basically, like I said, it's not an overnight, one, two, three, and it's over with. Some people believe that it's like writing a new company policy or something at work. You put it on paper and, you know, you tell employees that this is the new law and that's the way it goes, and then that's it. You go home and go to dinner. No, it doesn't work like that. Depending on the issue and the cooperation between the House and the Senate, depending on whether or not you know your state representatives, depending on the political agenda that year, the governor who is seated in your state at that time, even though you may have a good piece of legislative, legislation that should become a law, should make it for a full vote, it really may never see the light of day, and if it does, it may not ever get passed. The reality is that sometimes things look good on paper, but when they're presented, when they start going through the process, they just don't make it. All right, so what we do, what POI does, and the way that we've changed a number of laws and helped other folks to change the laws in their states is this is what we do in a nutshell. We facilitate, we educate, and then we communicate our knowledge, our information to the representatives and the senators on a state level. Now, we've also submitted information on a local municipal level where they have passed different city ordinances and laws that require training for bouncers and nightclub security. But on a statewide level, and someone asked me a few months ago, they said, well, how do you make this a federal law? That just told me that the person didn't understand the legislative process. States regulate their own laws. States are sovereign. Very rarely can the federal government come in and tell the state that they have to have this or that or the other type of law unless it's for general public safety nationwide. We work with state representatives and senators on a state level. What we do is we submit to them, first of all, we try to get either a conference call, we send them emails or letters to the Judicial Committee to somebody who's on the public safety committee. We make contact. We let them know who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it. Then we try to arrange a conference call or an in-person meeting. We then go through a informational and statistical process where we have to, and we're in that process right now for three states, we have to submit to them a number of things. Statistical data, which shows how many security officers nationwide and within their state are killed or injured or are involved in conflict over a set number of years or time frame. We also have to submit training comparisons, usually in four or five states that are around that particular state. So, for instance, Georgia, we would submit Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, you know, four or five or six states within that area. And then we would also include some other states that have very strong requirements for security officer licensing, registration, training. Then what we do is we also submit national standings. That would be information that would show them what the national median middle-of-the-road requirements are of private security. And we also submit current state laws and requirements in their state because a lot of times these people don't know. They're not involved in you know, the daily activities or enforcement of the state private protective board or criminal justice service office, and they may not know what the requirements of are of security officers or training, and they don't really know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So you have to give them all that data, and you do it, you know, as efficiently as possible, and you're presenting almost like you're going to a business presenting a proposal. We also give them samplings of the law in other states, and then we craft or draft a proposal of a law. We give them the language of the law sometimes that they can use as a template to proceed with this proposed bill or law. Once they receive all of that, then what happens next is basically they look at it and they take it to their public safety committee head or, you know, judiciary committee, depending on how their particular house is set up, and they look at it and they read it and they discuss it. And sometimes they even put together a subcommittee. And their job is to look at this particular situation in their state. And they do a little research, and they sometimes call in the Police Chiefs Association, or they call in different folks in law enforcement or private security. Some people know what's happening, and some don't, but they call them in anyways. And they talk some more. So as you can see, that's not a short process. It's a long process. And then they talk about it some more. And if they're really interested, what they'll do is they'll propose a law, and they'll bring it before the right committee. And at that point, it's assigned a bill number. That's why you'll see, for instance, HB 290, House Bill 290, for instance. They're assigned an official number. So this is going to officially be something that will be introduced as a new law. Up until that point, it was just back office type stuff, conversation, fact-finding. It wasn't had nothing to do with what was going to be introduced during that session. Once it's issued an HB or a House bill number, then it goes into the registry, along with the tens and hundreds and sometimes even more bills that's going to be introduced and voted on or considered. At that point, it goes on to about 12 or 15 other steps. Now, I could tell you all of the steps that it takes. But very quickly, and I did use Wikipedia to help me out with this information because I wanted to give it to you correctly. Step one is introduction. Only a member of Congress, House or Senate, can introduce that bill. We've kind of clarified that. They can have co-sponsors. It could be somebody from, you know, one county and somebody from another county who believes that they have an opportunity to push this bill through. The bill is assigned a number, like we said. Step two is it goes into committee consideration. All bills and resolutions are referred to one or more of the House or Senate committees. We talked about that. Usually, in this particular case, it would be the Public Safety Committee or something similar. And they decide on whatever action that they're going to take, you know, whether or not they're going to proceed and push this bill through for a vote, or if it dies right there before ever going any further. And some do die in committee. If you ever hear that expression, the bill died in committee, that's what it means. The subcommittee or the committee looking at whether or not this was a necessary bill or a law or something that was, you know, going to help the public, then it doesn't go anyplace if they feel like it's not really worthwhile. There's so many other bills on the books for during that session. It doesn't go anyplace. Sometimes it goes back to subcommittee and they review it again and they rewrite the language. And depending on the power of that committee and depending on who's on it, you know, if they're buddies with the other guys, you know how it works. It's all politics. Believe me when I tell you. It goes for markup. And basically what that means is that goes to the full committee. They're looking to bring it before everybody to get everybody's general opinion as to whether or not this is going to fly, whether or not it would be good for their constituents, whether or not it would be good for the general public at large. And, you know, if it passes all of those steps, it goes to the floor and on the legislative calendar, and, you know, it takes 100 members. It takes 100 members. Some, you know, a lot of people have to vote before this thing can become reality. Sometimes they pass it and they say this needs more discussion. It needs to be looked at a little further, a little deeper, and they pass it. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they vote on it. If it gets to that point, yay or nay. Unfortunately, in the political world, some powerful politics can sneak these laws in with other laws. They can compile them with other similar, supposedly, laws. And before you know it, it's a package deal, and they all get voted in or not, depending on a number of things. And, you know, like I said, it is a lengthy process. So we're not talking about an overnight thing. We're not talking about even a thing that happens in a month or two. Or it might take several years. But if it does pass, then it goes for signature of the governor. If a law is passed over or dead on the floor, it never makes it out of a committee, you can always try again next year. You can always try when somebody new has been elected in. You can always try when someone new is in charge of that committee. Maybe when you have some, I don't want to say juice or power, but that's what it comes down to. When you have some inside help, you can try it again. So as you can see, it's not as easy as getting a template, writing it out, and sending it in, and tomorrow it's a law. It doesn't work that way. It's a long process. But the important steps for you on a local end is if you want to change the laws in your area, you want to increase training, you want to make it a felony when a security officer is assaulted, well, there's three things that you can do. first study the legislative process and understand how it works. Then get a list of your local state representative in your area, who's over your area, and contact us with that information. Find out if there's a public safety committee, a judiciary committee. Find out if there's any similar laws being considered or has been considered. And you can look these up online in your state. And then last but not least, contact us with this information so that we can begin the communication, the letter writing, the emails, the calls, to bring us to the point of having a conference call with the right people, and then we'll begin compiling the information and the documents necessary for them to even consider it and look at, and then we'll move forward. But that's how the legislative process works. That's the long and short of it. And we're always happy and willing to work with people. Don't have an agenda of your own. Don't be in it for the glory, because there is no glory. There's a lot of work. And we'll all rejoice once they slam the hammer down and it becomes a law. That's all we have for tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same place. And if you're not already a POI Association member, we ask that you join today at privateofficer.com. Support us, be part of what we're doing, and we'll help you in every way that we can. Until next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.